This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, Carm Capriotto at Vision 2025. I don't know about you, Kim, but 1 year went by like that.
In a blink, here we are again.
Wow. License to Skill, high-tech training expo at Vision. We're here in Kansas City, and if you're not, shame on you.
Missing out.
Hey, we're so happy to be brought to you this year by Napa Trax. 30 years, Napa Trax has made selecting a really right shop management system. They got people in the field training each and every day. They're an amazing company and a great SMS, NapaTrax.com. Thank you, Napa. And of course, we have all other kind of great sponsors on the show. More than 16% of light-duty vehicles on the road are EV and hybrid. Is your shop ready to safely and properly service them? Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with Napa Autotech's innovative EV-ready Level 1 high-voltage awareness and maintenance training. Hey, for over 30 years, Napa Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the best, most comprehensive SMS in the industry. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find Napa Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. So Kim Auernheimer is with me. CS Automotive, two locations in Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
We're flying into Nashville from Kansas City to get back to the Buff. I've never really flown into Nashville. You were telling me last night that it's becoming a hub.
It's a busy airport. You're going to be shocked about the sheer number of people at all hours of the night, and day.
Kim, how many years ago did we meet?
Oh my gosh.
Years. It's been years since I've known you. You've come on the show in the past. And in fact, you're our go-to interview here at Vision. You were here last year. We had a great episode. Please look it up. We just came away from a phenomenal keynote speaker. I mean, we're fresh, we're excited, it's still rolling in our head. And it was Marcus Lemonis.
Yes.
And if anyone has never, I think NBC, the show called The Prophet.
The Prophet. And he has another one coming out, so I'm excited to see that.
A new show coming out, but he also is the owner of Camping World. So Marcus comes out, and I'm kind of thinking that we're going to get his pitch on people, process, product. And he walks into the audience. No one knew where the hell he was.
I was looking around thinking, I hear a voice, but I can't find him.
He's in the center of the audience, rolling around, picking technicians, specialists, service advisors, owners who are commenting, bringing them up to the front of the room, kind of a whiteboard thing going on. And he says, listen, I got all these locations. I got thousands of people like you working for me. Let me tell you what my challenge is. And he spent 1 hour talking about everything going on in our industry. And you had a personal meet and greet.
I did. And I was honored to.
And what did you tell him?
We walked into the room and he could sense that his passion was there in that room for that hour. His passion was there. But we had a chance to talk privately after with a small group, and he's just, what's missing? What can we do? And I'm just, my own words were, what can we do to convince these technicians, these shop owners, that they're worth their maximum revenue capacity? He talked about that MRC and how valuable each bay is, and not only just for the shop, but he really spent a lot of time talking to the technicians and encouraging them to maximize their revenue for their family, and starting all the way from the top down.
Yeah.
And just shared the challenges of our day. And I was so encouraged because I knew he owned Camping World. I mean, we've had our camper service there. We've spent a lot of time there, unfortunately. But he came in with a knowledge. He didn't come in fluff. He came in with a knowledge of how our operations as our auto repair shops, how our operations work. And really, I felt like he gave us a great challenge. And then on the private meeting, I just sensed this. There was this feeling of true passion and interest in each individual person. It was not a show, and gave us each a challenge of our own once he knew a little bit about our story. So yeah. Really remarkable person. It was a keynote of keynotes, even though it was not a keynote.
Didn't you say to him that you tried to show value in the people that were in the room, that they're worth it?
They're worth it. And that's one of the things that we talked about was, he said, what are we going to do to get this where it needs to be? We'll get these shops optimized and these technicians making the money that they should. I kind of spoke up and I said, they got to know that they're worth it.
Yeah.
The technicians, the shop owners, everybody has to know that they're worth what their MRC is.
I was telling this to Travis Troy a half hour ago. I said, you just nailed it by bringing in Marcus, knowing that when he was a child, he grew up in a dealership mm-hmm. and he knows our industry. And you know what he said at the end? You do. I'm telling the audience. We have the toughest job in America. We make the macro economy move. Without us, we wouldn't be there. It's not a glamorous job. We don't earn enough at it. The world on the outside doesn't want to pay us to do the job that we do that's so important. And it was so healthy for everyone in that room, from specialists to owners to service advisors, to hear this mm-hmm. story from this, yeah, insider, but yet an influencer in the industry. Mm-hmm.
And I think what he said was, if it weren't for us, this world would come to a stop.
Yeah.
You know, I thought about Parker from Colorado, who was in the audience. He's a diesel mechanic,
yeah.
you know, all the way to getting our families from point A to point B. If we didn't do what we did, if there wasn't auto repair out there, the world would come to a stop.
Exactly.
And I don't think he was exaggerating.
And I talk an awful lot about the medical field mm-hmm. and the analogy of what we do to medical. Doesn't he kind of wrap it up at the end?
He talks about that. We're a hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah he says, we're the industry's vehicle operating room. And if you ever go to the doctor and the nurse comes in to take your vitals, that's the service advisor's role. And of course, then the doctor comes in, finds out what the hell is wrong, but should ask additional questions as we're inspecting the vehicle. We're really being the doctor for the vehicle to say, does it hurt here, by the way? Because they're looking in your ears or looking up your nose or looking in your mouth. They're touching your... I always wondered why the doctor touched my ankles when I was there. I
mean, he's looking... See if they're swollen.
No,
and make sure your blood flow's going.
Bingo. And so to me, that's the most incredible part of the analogy that Marcus brought, I think, to that room. There were 1,100 first-timers at this event.
And a good number of them were technicians. I really loved how he was able to just come in and say, every single person in that emergency room for the vehicle is important.
Yeah.
If one person doesn't do what they're supposed to do in the most efficient, the most productive, the most in the and yet still taking care of the client, then we fail. And I love how we put the onus on everybody's responsibility. It's not just the shop owners, and it's also not just the technicians or the specialists that have to perform. It's everybody.
When he started to go down this incredible list of what all of our responsibilities are, he basically said, and I'm going to read from my notes mm-hmm. so I don't miss it. We have to modify this stuff, meaning efficiency, illness, parts, no-shows, all of these get in the way of our efficiency. So we're all in this thing together. The internet going down, that we communicate well, comebacks, the culture. I mean, someone said attitude and he brought him up to the front knowing if Marcus had more time, he'd probably dive heavily into culture, workflow, bottlenecks. And we are all responsible from soup to nuts, everyone who plays a role in that business. I was so impressed.
I love always, he talks about the three P's. So I teach a 3 P's class, but it's policies, processes, and procedures.
Yeah.
But his 3 P's, and I've heard this before, so it's not original, but it really sunk home. It's the people, the processes, and the product. They all have to line up. They all have to work as one. You have to think in that mindset. It's about the people. It's about the process. And it's about the product that's going to make it go.
And the product is time.
Yeah, that was the maximum revenue capacity equals time.
Equals time.
And I've heard he talked about, I don't remember what fruit he used, but we've heard from other trainers that bananas, those are, if the bananas sit on the shelf at the store and they don't get sold, they're going to rot. I think it was Cecil Buller that said that. He talks about bananas.
Yeah,
you're selling.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we selling? We're selling bananas. Bananas is our labor. If we don't sell, it's not going out the door. It's wasted. It's rotten. It just goes in the
it's
trash.
It's gone. Never. Every hour you don't, yeah.
You can never resuscitate a rotten banana.
You never
not
can.
Even in a banana bread.
So thank you for reminiscing
yes,
about the keynote.
That
we,
was
just,
really
we just
great.
Heard two hours
really
ago here
that.
In Overland Park, the conference center here for Vision.
Good job, Vision, on that one.
Yeah. What I want to talk to Kim about is what I have termed a tale of two cities.
And it's a scary tale. It's not an easy, it's not a love story by no means, but it's a good story.
It's a good story. Two locations in Tennessee, one in Brentwood. Mm-hmm. And if anyone knows Brentwood, I think that's where all the country people have homes.
It's where all the country singers, I live around the corner from Dolly Parton to the Predators, the Titans players, music industry, medical industry. The homes there, if you've ever seen a picture of a home in Brentwood, they all look the same. Mine does not. Mine's probably the smallest in town, but I'm still pretty proud of my house.
I bet you are. And you and your husband, Rob, we rented a bay in a place, you know, and
in the back of a warehouse.
Yeah, in the back of a warehouse. We got lucky. We bought a place. I think you guys were exclusively Lexus and Toyota.
Started off as Lexus, Toyota.
And I'm sure that was, I mean, there's enough Lexuses in the market.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And then great run, lots of success. And then you took on store number two in a completely different marketplace. So if you're listening to us in this episode, it's not necessarily about telling you to buy another store. It's not. No. I think Marcus said it's about the addressable market. You've got to understand and know your market, the vehicles that are in it, the incomes that you have. Maybe marketing is different. If they're not, say, two or three or four communities next to each other, I think yours is a distance away.
It's about an hour and a half. The shops are about an hour and a half apart.
Okay. It's a completely different world.
Completely different world.
You don't have to have two stores to realize that, oh, maybe Kim's talking about my kind of marketplace. And how she markets differently to each one of them, which is why we're going to call this the Tale of Two Cities. Mm-hmm. So the challenge that I know you're having is in the new store. Am I right?
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
And what's the town again that's in?
It's called Monteagle. Monteagle, Sewanee. They are two very small towns next to each other. Demographics are within a 5 mile, and I'm really bad at remembering numbers, but it's within our Monteagle store. It's a demographic of about 5,000 people within 5 miles. So we actually have to go our demographics or our addressable market. We have to go out about 20 to 30 miles.
But people in the country will drive.
They will drive. They have to drive because
they'll drive 8 to 10 miles to find their favorite shop.
Yes. And Sewanee, then it's interesting because those two different locations, I mean, our shop is located halfway between Monteagle and Sewanee. Monteagle is a very blue collar. Everybody drives an hour to work generally or 45 minutes to work if they're going to go down to Manchester or Winchester, maybe half an hour away. If they don't work in the local microeconomy, the small little stores and things that they do have there, they have to drive. Sewanee is a university town. It's a small Christian university. It is a more of a affluent university. So the difference between the shops is we have a demographic of 20 miles, I mean, a marketable, addressable market of 20 miles, 30 miles for the Monteagle Sewanee location compared to Brentwood, we have a mile to 5 miles and it's saturated. So it's completely different. If you know Monteagle or you know that area, it's halfway between Nashville and Chattanooga and it's at the top of the grade. There's a mountain grade that goes on I-24 and we're about a half a mile off I-24. So our customer base is in Brentwood. It's probably had 12 people driving through once a month. We'll have somebody driving through that has a breakdown where our Monteagle location is 51% is transient.
No.
And I mean, transit either driving through or they're attending the university for 4 years. You know, they're students.
Wow.
So it's completely different. We don't have a transient market in Brentwood, but it's over 51. It's like 51, 53%.
Did you realize that when you bought it?
Yes. We did know it was higher because they are looking at the university being just down the street and then so close to the interstate on such a high grade. Basically, we're at the very top of the mountain. You go up, very steep grade, and then you have to go back down. There's rest stops on each side of the town. There's two off ramps and there's a rest stop on each side going east and west.
Interesting.
So they do that because there's a lot of breakdown.
Students have vehicles from home?
Students have to drive. You have to have a vehicle really to get it to live on campus.
Got
to
clear it with mom and dad?
Have to clear it with mom and dad. There's whole set of...
honest and ethical procedures to make sure this car is safe and reliable.
Absolutely.
For the student.
And it also creates a flux for us of business. So we're super busy. We get really, really busy the first half of December. And the first half of May, because the students are headed home. So their parents are telling them, you know, make sure you get oil changed before you drive home. So we're learning this. This has been a learning process for us. So we went in that market knowing it was going to be a struggle, but I didn't realize how I had to just take, we've been in business since 2006. I can't do the math. So I guess, what is that? Almost 20 years. Yeah, there we go. Math is hard. For almost 20 years. And a year and a half ago, we bought another business. I had learned in all my years, my 18 and a half years of marketing and with a certain, not just marketing, but just even dealing with and handling customers in one particular market with a little more affluent, a lot more educated in many cases, a lot newer cars, a lot more, just a whole different demographic. And then we go into this demographic and I'm like, I have to rethink and relearn everything that we have done. And it's the story of
Tell Two Cities. What kind of different strategies have you done in the rural shop?
Even all the way to hiring. So we've even had to decide, like, based on our hiring, if I were to put our Lori and Zach into the Montego location, they would do fine. We have a CSR. We only have three technicians in the Montego location, but I have two people up front. And I have two people up front because I have a service advisor who's doing the work. And because we have so many transits, so many breakdowns, we have this different culture down there. We have a CSR and her job is to basically nurture and take care and provide solutions for these people that are traveling, get these students back to
front,
their school.
In the front, mm-hmm. guiding, if you will, mm-hmm. a guide
yeah.
for this individual through this process while the service advisor is writing everything up.
So we have a service advisor that's doing the service advising.
Yeah.
And then we have a CSR that's there to take care of these students and
handhold
and make sure that if they need a ride, if they can need hotel accommodations, towing accommodations, basically there to, I guess, hold hands, but nurture and take care of these clients. Cause it's a whole different in Brentwood, they're dropping the car and they've got their other vehicle and they can Uber, they can do whatever they need to do. Or, we concierge drive, we mm-hmm. provide rides and we do that in Montego and, Susie's going to be gone for 30, 45 minutes to give a ride to the university. We just have to take care of them in a different way. It's an honor. We love it, but it's just different.
Are you a Napa Auto Care Center who is ready to take your shop to the next level? Then the premier tier Napa Auto Care Gold Certified program is exactly what you need. Gold Certified Auto Care Centers provide customers with a consistent experience no matter where they are in the U.S. Now, this means they are more likely to return and support your shop or find your Gold Certified Auto Care Center while on the road. Gold Certified members can maximize technology, increase their local marketing opportunities, and have a fully trained team that keeps up with the latest trends. Simply put, the Gold Certified Napa Auto Care program powered by your local brand will set you apart. A true partnership is a two-way street. Shops must meet specific criteria to be eligible for the many benefits of gold. Now, Napa Auto Care rewards its most committed partners, their gold certified members, with free premium shop referrals on the Napa online locator, annual marketing dollars, an enhanced warranty, training opportunities, program rebates, and so much more. Are you ready to get started? Contact your local Napa sales representative to discuss your eligibility and apply today. More than 16% of light-duty vehicles on the road are EV and hybrid. Is your shop ready to safely and properly service them? Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with Napa Autotech's innovative EV-ready Level 1 high-voltage awareness and maintenance training. Hey, take your auto care center to the next level, the gold level, with the Napa Auto Care Gold Certified Program. This program is for the best of the best who can provide a consistent consumer experience and earn the trust of returning and new customers. Talk to your Napa sales representative about how you can become a gold certified shop. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. Napa Trax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. Napa Trax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Napa Trax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at Napa Trax, that's NapaTracs.com. How about marketing using Facebook, Google AdWords? Is there a different way to think about the country stores?
It is different. What we have found is being in Monteagle, we have to be part of the community. So the Rotary, the chili cook-offs, the be part of the Chamber of Commerce. We have found that it's a little harder to click it, to get into that little click niche. Travel, you know, word travel fast. If somebody has one bad experience, you have to protect your image like no other in a small town like that than you do in Brentwood. That's kind of what we've found is we have to get in there in the community. And it's a struggle because it's an hour and a half away from our other shop, an hour and 15 minutes from my home. But it's more about being part of the community and not just being a corporate style store up there.
You have brought a huge thing up here, concept strategy about being intimate with the community. Mm-hmm. And you live an hour and a half away. Mm-hmm. And let me make an assumption. You're not there every day and you probably go there, let's just say one or two days a week. It's got to be so hard to be involved with the community when you're not living in it.
So that's where we got a little smart. So I don't make it to the store as often as I should. My husband, Rob, is there. He tries to get there once a week. We have a director of operations that actually spends 2 days in Monteagle and three in Brentwood. But when we hired our CSR, she knows everybody in that town. She and Dan, our service advisor, have become the face of CS Automotive. So we give them the autonomy. We give them the opportunity to represent us as in a sense of having ownership of the store.
That's nice.
But it's been challenging. But at like everybody, so Susie knows everybody. So when they walked in, we not only hired her to be able to take care of our customers because they have more needs because of location and space and distance of everything, but also she is in the community. She's of the community. She is the community.
She's the host of the business.
She is the host. She makes great coffee. She takes such pride in that business and, you know, all the way to the lobby, and she's not let a plant die. And that's really hard for any of our employees. In fact, she has brought more and it looks like a greenhouse in there. It's gorgeous.
That's a cool story. She's never let a plant
die. She's never let a plant die. That's kind of a joke. Yeah.
Susie, she's never let a plant die.
Never let a plant die.
And so the community knows her. Mm-hmm. She is in the face. I mean, does she do posting in Facebook?
One of our people down in Brentwood have been doing that, but we are getting her into that role now to have her start doing. And as she's always on Nextdoor, everybody knows her. So going back to the marketing, geofencing has been working some up there where it works really good in Brentwood, but we're geofencing certain locations, but it really is just putting those faces out.
What are you geofencing around?
The university.
Okay.
We try doing the rest stops. I've challenged some of the people in geofencing world to figure out how we can geofence if they've been there for more than like 20, 25 minutes instead of just using the potty and getting back in the car and heading on. So we are wasting a lot of drops on people that were just there to, you know, to take a quick rest stop rather than a breakdown. And it's also going to a lot of truckers that are stopped there as well.
Isn't it scary?
So, yeah.
It's just scary.
Well, they haven't been able to figure out how to do the time yet. So if we can get somebody that's there. Okay. And that their phones are, you know, there for, you know, 30 minutes. They're probably going to be a trucker, but at least we can, you know, captivate or capture some of those people that might be there.
And where are you spending your money on? Search, mindless scrolling? Is that what you're doing? You're inserting an ad?
Postcards up there for the locals. Okay. And then what about the geofencing? It would be dropping down an ad.
Okay.
And if we can ever get it to know where we know that they are there and possibly there for a breakdown, then we would drop do you need help? Or, you know.
Okay, so the ad is specific to the geofencing by saying the word stuck. Are you stuck?
Yeah,
like that.
You need help or around the corner.
You need help. Yeah, we're just around the corner.
And that marketing up there, it's kind of funny because we're trying to get into the billboard. And I would never have thought billboard, again, different mindset, that billboard would work up there. But if you're driving I-24, there's billboard after billboard after billboard after billboard. And we happen to be located next to, it was a historic restaurant hotel called Smokehouse. The restaurant burned down, but they still have the commodity on billboards. And I'm like, if they would just give some of those up, we would be investing in billboards.
Are you kidding me?
No.
They still
They still, even though the restaurant's gone, it's still a hotel and it's a small little restaurant now, but it was a historic location. They've taken the commodity on, they've taken a large commodity of the billboard space.
So are you in charge of thinking all this marketing through? Do you work with people?
It's funny because I will tell you that I know my brand. I know who I'm looking for. I know my brand. I know, you know, in fact, I teach on branding, on the brand. But doing the marketing itself, like the ads and the offers, and I hate it. That is not my gift at all. So I really rely on my partners in my business to help me with that.
Cool. Good
and
for you.
That's why I look for people that know me, know my clientele, and know how to market to them. And again, we have different, the word avatars, we have different demographics. In Montego, I can tell you what my two clients are, who they are, where they work, what they do, what they drink. I can tell you how many kids, what they drive. Montego, it's anybody and everybody that we can get in the front door. So it's a challenge. It's really a challenge.
Why go up to Montego?
If you ask me most days, I'd be able to give you a very good answer. And other days, I'm like, I have no idea why we did that. We're there for the long haul. So Montego right now is small town. And so we bought a year and a half ago. Since COVID, there's been a lot of people actually had second homes there. It was very much a vacation area or a second home because it's really close to a lake. It's up in the mountains. There's lots of mountain biking. In fact, there's a mountain bike trail that goes, I think it's like 38 miles from one city to another. Some of our best friends go up there hiking several times a year during the summer. So it's a very outdoor, it can be a destination location, especially during the spring and fall, some in the summer because of the heat. But what's happening is since COVID, there's been a change of those vacation homes have become more like part-time homes. So I'll use a good example. A friend of mine who lives in Brentwood, works at Vanderbilt. She's in nurse administration. She works from home mostly. She has to be in the office some days a week. So she actually has a beautiful million-dollar home in Montego. She has now a smaller apartment in Nashville, and she spends most of her time in Montego and only drives down to Nashville when she has to work. We're seeing a lot of that. The chief of police for in Brentwood, our chief of police just retired 2 weeks ago. He actually has a lot and is building his retirement home up there. The long haul is that it's developing, it's growing, and it's growing fast. And what's coming up there are these bigger homes, bigger people want to make that their final home. So the long haul is it's growing, but the challenge is we have to keep growing in the meantime. While the community is growing, we have to be able to sustain.
You know, you should be in tandem step with the growth, hopefully. And it sounds like a brilliant idea.
It's a tough one, though. It's not easy.
Listen, any business, year and a half in, even though it was a going business, it may not have been as going as you wanted it
to
be.
Well, we had to really step over a bad reputation, too.
Okay.
That challenge right there.
There's a year. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a year. And the changing demographics of people wanting to not have the vacation home, but more of the permanent home.
Yeah.
And that, I can't imagine the opportunity where the property values are going.
Right.
Because of it looking like such a great place to retire to.
Yes. I mean, we had an opportunity. This was a situation. It was a very, we probably would have really heeded a lot more caution or take a lot more caution in making this decision. But because of certain situations. The owner was sick, very, very sick, had multiple transplants, et cetera, et cetera. So we had the opportunity to be able to walk into that location with no money out of our pocket. It wasn't an investment to walk in besides our time. It was a huge investment of our time to get the property, the building into we had to replace all equipment. It was just a mess. But we went in and, you know, put the lipstick on, you know, not a pig, but we put lipstick on and made it look the way it should. And then it took that next year. We're still working on the reputation. I just got a couple more reviews today and we're 4.9 with a little over 100 reviews
in that
one location. I can't complain. Their reputation's solid, but there's still a lot of the stigma. And it is a demographic where there is a lot of DIY there, or you can even go down to the shop. That's the country. But I mean, there is a shop that has a store, I mean, a sign out front that if you take your own oil and filter, they will change your oil for $9.99. That's a disservice. And so we have to challenge that mindset of the DIY is great, but you're up in the mountains. You're going up and down that hill. If you're doing your own oil, are you checking your brakes? Are you checking your tires? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing to make sure that your family's safe, especially on those mountain roads?
Well, if you're bringing that vehicle in for all the right reasons and, you know, giving it a great inspection and showing this individual how long this car will last with the proper maintenance, and they feel good, they have a home. I always think about that. Mm-hmm. I have a home. I have a place I can call, and I just drop the keys and I say, there's a noise, fix it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're hoping for.
It's also your D personality too.
Oh, well, I'm a high I.
Oh, are you high I? You're up there with the D though too.
But yeah, I have a D.
But no, and honestly, it's not even about your personality. It's the fact that you have a trust with that. Trust
yeah.
them. That's your home.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking, you know, Brentwood, we've been able to establish that. I think, again, we're 4.9 there, and I think it's over almost 500 reviews or so. I don't remember.
Well, you're doing some right things.
So we've got the reviews. Our goal is to make our shops our clients' homes. Again, with a transient population for Monteagle, it's a hotel. They're only going to stay there one night and move on. But we want to make it the nicest hotel, you know, that we can. It's a whole different mindset for us, for our clients, for our technicians and our advisors. And
when you first started the business, I think, what's that, 20 some years?
19 years ago. Yeah.
Did Brentwood have the reputation or the amount of money in it back then?
I would say yes. I mean, it's definitely growing. That particular, we had the honor of being able to raise our kids. We moved there in 2005 to open the shop in 2006. Has a reputation of one of the best schools, high schools. Actually, now they have two high schools, so it has grown. But in the United States, I mean, blue ribbon schools all throughout, you know, elementary, middle, and high school. Being that it's just a pocket, it's the southernmost. I'll put it this way: if you walk out the front door of our shop, as soon as you walk out the front door, you're in Brentwood. If you're in the shop, you're basically in Nashville. We sit that close to Nashville. The back half of our property is Davidson County. The front half of our property is Williamson County. So we're split. Yeah, it's lovely. But Brentwood has a reputation of being a great area to raise a family. So you do see the white picket fence, the 2.5 cars, you know, you see a lot of that. But it has, I wouldn't say it's evolved a whole lot since we moved there 20 years ago. It's gotten more condensed. There's gotten more populated for sure.
Kim, what did it take to grow Brentwood?
Reputation. I mean, that's why people move there, is reputation.
And so you're supporting that with, I mean, yeah, I get it. The reputation, I live in Brentwood. I get my car service at CS Automotive. That's powerful when people say that?
I believe so.
And you earned that how over all these years?
By taking care of our customers, by putting our customers, our clients first. And sometimes that's at an expense to Rob and I. We always take care of our employees and we take care of our customers.
Is it employee first, then customer?
Absolutely. Because if we don't take care of our employees, we're not going to be able to service
Absolutely.
Our customers. And so I love, this is a great story. Our shop name is CS Automotive. But we started off as Cool Springs Automotive because our first shop was located down in the Cool Springs area, which is actually Franklin, Tennessee. But it's an area that's known as Cool Springs. So our business name is Cool Springs Automotive LLC. When we moved to Brentwood, Rob and I had a long discussion. It's kind of a funny discussion, but we had a long discussion about changing our name to CS Automotive because I didn't want people putting in their mindset when they talked about us that we're going to be down in the Cool Springs area because now we're in Brentwood mm-hmm. proper. So we're, you know, 5, 6, 7 miles from where our original store location was in the back of the warehouse. So we changed our name to CS Automotive. We happen to be on Church Street. So CS.
No.
So that works out. However, the irony is.
Perfect.
The irony is this, that I'm going to say this and I'm saying this out loud for everybody to hear. My husband was right because I felt like we need to change our name from Cool Springs Automotive and he disagreed. Next door to us now is Cool Springs Plastic Surgery. So he was right. But here's the great story about that. A customer comes in and he says, what does CS stand for? And my husband said, well, we started off as Cool Springs. We moved to Brentwood, so we changed it so people wouldn't get us confused. We're on Church Street. He says, no. He says, no. CS Automotive, CS stands for customer service because that's what you do. You
Whoa.
Provide customer service. I get verklempt when I hear that story, you know, when I think about that
yes,
story because
oh my God,
that's how
perfect.
We built. That's how we built our reputation, the customer service. And I credit it to our service advisors at the front desk.
customer
Lori
service.
Zach is, they're phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. See, and I believe that the word customer should be replaced with client.
I don't know if I've been saying client, but it should be client service. But people know customer service. They know that, yeah, but they are clients.
I get it. Yeah. And Marcus did make a point this morning about that, you know, we've got to take care of our people first.
Absolutely.
To all the right points. Are they eating well? I mean, what are we feeding them?
Yeah. And when you walk into our locations, there's a picture wall. So you walk in on the left side in Brentwood, there's a picture wall and there are pictures of our employees and their families and highlights. The new baby comes up, we print it out, put it up there. And I just had an opportunity to visit with our staff on Tuesday and we talked about that. And I said, you all know why there's a picture wall out there? And some knew because they were part of that development many years ago. And I got to share, I said, that picture wall is out there because we don't employ employees. We have families that we're responsible to as employers. So we employ families. Mm-hmm. And the picture wall is out there with your children, with your wife, because I want our customers to know, our clients to know that we have families here, that we're not just, it's not, they're just not a commodity in the back. I had a customer walk in and I happened to be at the front desk at that time and he can hear something. He says, he stops and kind of looked and I thought, oh, I hope there's nothing inappropriate going in the background back there because I can hear them out there, the technicians, I can hear them out there. And he said, that right there is the sound of a place I want to bring my car. And I thought, you know, I did have to take a hesitation, like, what is he hearing? Well, he was hearing laughter. He was hearing joy. And that meant so much to him that he can walk into a shop and he can hear laughter and joy coming from the back shop, not just the front. So that, I love that.
In my keynote on the rise of the mechanical and technology specialist, I am out there. It continues to evolve. And I just did it this past weekend. And I mentioned about how if we're trying to make sure that our facilities bear up to the level of service that we are giving and the prices that we charge and the kind of monies that we want our people who work for us to earn, because we have to earn that, we've got to upgrade our places.
Absolutely.
And so I mentioned to people to go on my website, type in the Ritz-Carlton bathrooms, because a lot of shop owners have done some major upgrades to their facilities.
I just visited my first Buc-ee's. Who would have thought that a truck stop, a convenience store would have bathrooms like that? I'm going to stop at every Buc-ee's, not just for the pulled pork sandwich, but to use their restroom. Absolutely.
So my point,
and it's a convenience store.
So here's my point. And I would love to know, find out from Buc-ee's. Do some research for me, please.
Okay.
Next time you go in, ask them, are your bathrooms for the employees just as nice as mine?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Okay.
I'm going to do that.
But are your employee bathrooms?
They are.
Just as nice as the customer.
They are. We just have to work a little harder at keeping them cleaner.
All right. Okay.
So, but yes, absolutely.
And that, my point.
And the dressing room.
My point is everything that we consider to do for the client, if we don't do it for our people.
Agreed.
That we're missing something, especially if we have this culture that says our people come first.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Anyway.
And going back to the Mont Eagle, that was one of the first things we walked in. We're like, this employee bathroom is...
Get me some dynamite.
It was bad. And the technicians that came over from the old business, they were blown away that we would go in. And first thing we did was rip out all the VC vinyl, whatever, tiles and pull them out because it was disgusting. And that was the first thing that he talked about, is like how we took care of the bathrooms for them. So I agree with you. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's a lot of people listening to this that are saying, you caught me. My bathrooms are bad for everything involved, both front of house and back of house. So, all right. Hopefully this episode will get you to spend some money. Good bathrooms.
Take care of your employees.
Thank you for this episode, A Tale of Two Cities. I learned a lot. Thanks for sharing your behind the scenes with Marcus Lemonis here at Vision 2025 here in Kansas City. Kim Auerheim.
Set the bar very high for the rest of the weekend.
Oh my gosh,
sure. Yes.
Did he ever.
Yes.
I took so many notes. Yeah. You know what he was doing? Anyone who's ever been involved in a networking group, anyone who's ever been involved in a coaching group, heard Marcus lay the hardener on top of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you can see some of the business coaches and they're going, yes. Not in their
right.
Head. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Nailed it. Yeah.
See what I've been saying.
Making my job easier.
Yes. What I've been saying is right. See?
Exactly right. Kim Auerheim, CS Automotive, Brentwood, and Mont Eagle, Sewanee.
Sewanee, yes.
Tennessee, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you, as always.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.